Deutsche Welle. Learning by ear. Listen up. Shape your future.
Hello and welcome to Learning by Ear's special series that takes a look at the environment. You will hear about the rapid expansion of the continent's deserts as our own activities put too much stress on the land. Today's radio novella will tell the tale of how both small and large-scale farmers are literally allowing their livestock to graze the ground bare. This causes damage to the soil that will take decades to repair and contributes directly to the rapid advance of our deserts.
You know, we Africans can be very funny. Look at the Europeans. They hold their wealth in property while we keep our wealth in animals. Cattle, goats, camels, whatever.
But when I get married, how can I give my bride's family a house? No, Monica, impossible. It must be livestock. Cows if I can, otherwise it must be goats.
Moses, you are so old-fashioned.
What?
You think you can still pay for a bride? You could never afford enough cattle for me.
I bet your father would accept 20 cattle. He's a traditional man.
That's true, and so is mine. My father just bought a new herd of goats so that he could pay my brothers-in-law's their dowry. 50 goats, including 10 billy goats.
Gladys, but your father already has more than 100 goats on his farm. And cattle too. How can he find good grazing for that many animals?
It's not easy. The grass quality is even deteriorating.
Whoa, Gladys, your farm looks so different.
How? I mean, what do you mean? Nothing has changed here. Oh, yeah, except that the forest has gone.
Yeah, Monique is right. The land here used to be full of shrubs and small trees. The grass was so green.
My father cleared the land about 5 years ago. He needed more land for grazing, and so he set it all on fire.
They call it slash and burn. I learned about it in geography class last week. Farmers who need more grazing cut areas of forest and allow it to dry. After some time, when the vegetation is dry, the farmer burns it, creating fields either for crops or livestock.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wambula.
Ah, you are admiring the new hut.
Yes, sir. Gladys was just telling us that you increased the size of your farm a few years ago.
Ah, well, as the family grows, you need more livestock to support yourselves. We burnt down the vegetation, me and my neighbors. Between us, we cleared about 20 hectares. We thought the grass would grow back thick and green. Ah, but you can see for yourselves, it is no good now.
It's just dust. The grass is so patchy.
Hello, Father.
Ah, meet my son, Josephat. He's Gladys' older brother.
Hello.
Josephat is at the agriculture college, something I never did.
Can you explain, Josephat, why your father's soil is so poor?
You see, first of all, when you remove the vegetation, the topsoil becomes exposed to the wind and rain. Without the roots of the trees and bushes to hold the soil together, it is easily washed away in heavy rain. So too are all the nutrients that the topsoil contains.
Ah.
But Josephat, I gave the ground time to recover. I allowed the grasses to grow back.
Yes, you did, Father, but the soil was somehow degraded. That's to say, it was less fertile than before. Then when you started grazing the animals, there was even more what we call stress placed on the soil.
How do you stress the soil?
Well, tell me what those goats over in the corner are doing.
They are just scraping the ground with their hooves.
You say just scraping? But what is the effect?
They kick up the dust.
But what is the dust?
Don't know.
That dust is fine soil particles. Each time a goat's hoof lands on the ground, it compacts the soil, making it harder. On the top is a layer of fine material. That's what you're seeing the goats kick up. It's another form of erosion. What's more, When it rains, the water can't seep through the compacted soil. So instead, the water runs along the surface, carrying away the loose soil.
You say when it rains, just fat. But for the last 2 years, the rains have failed. Ah, we are in a drought. This is how I water my animals, by pumping water from a borehole. It's the drought that is to blame, not my animals.
He's right, Shirley. How can the grasses grow when there's little rain?
Actually, Father, you are not quite right.
Oh? How is that?
It's a common misconception that droughts by themselves cause desertification. Drought is indeed a factor, Father. But the root cause is man's exploitation of the environment. Yes, we have experienced something of a drought in the last 2 years. But that is not to say there has been no rain at all. And the land here, if it is well managed, can recover.
I do manage it well.
Well, let me ask you this question. Before you dug the borehole, where did you graze the animals?
I remember how you used to move around. You were a pastoralist. You followed the rains and good pastures.
Yes, I did.
I see. So you'd graze one area and then move on. And this would allow the soil and the vegetation time to recover.
Precisely.
But now I don't move around because the borehole always has water.
Right. So the ground here is being constantly grazed. It never has a chance to recover. It's not your fault, Father. The reality is that as our population increases, there is less space for everyone and more demands are placed on the ground.
Josephette, but can your father's farm ever be green and fertile again?
Yes, Monica, it is possible. Through natural processes, it will take a long time. Decades, perhaps not even in our lifetime. But for that to happen, he would have to stop grazing the animals here.
You sound pessimistic.
The problem is that our father is not alone. All around here, we are seeing a steady degradation of the land. The same thing is happening across the country, up and down the continent.
Oh.
When the land is bare, there are no trees or plants to retain the moisture in the air. So it rains less. What we fear is that in time there will be a permanent change in climate patterns.
Josephette, you mean that one day this land could become a desert?
Yes, Monica. That's the worst case scenario. But it's already happening across the continent.
Did you know that globally, 1.2 billion people are at risk from desertification? That's one in every six people. It's believed 75% of the world's drier lands are affected by desertification. Every year, some 6 million hectares of agricultural land are lost and become virtual desert. Desertification is nothing new. In fact, several ancient civilizations, including the Babylonian Empire, are thought to have declined more rapidly after their agricultural output fell because of water scarcity. But current desertification is happening much faster than it has done historically. Who's responsible for this? Well, the blame falls squarely on our shoulders. Human activities, such as logging and livestock grazing, mean that land in arid and semi-arid areas is being degraded at a faster rate than is considered natural. The phenomenon of desertification first came to the world's attention in the late 1960s. 250,000 people and millions of domestic animals died over a six-year period in West Africa's sub-Saharan Sahel region. Experts estimate that the Sahara is advancing southwards by between 5 and 10 kilometres each year. The United Nations Environment Programme has estimated that $4.5 billion need to be spent every year for the next 20 years to prevent the process of desertification. Halting the advance of the deserts on the African continent requires good land management. This means reducing the man-made pressures and stress placed on the land, such as livestock grazing and crop growing, so the soils and vegetation can recover. But as Africa's population increases, the number of mouths in need of feeding rises, adding to the demands placed on Africa's fragile dry lands.
And that's all for today's Learning by Ear special environment focus on desertification, written by Richard Locke. Thanks for being with us. If you want to hear the program again or tell friends about it, go to our website at www.dw-world.de/lbe. Goodbye.